putting on my chief engineer hat for the engineering surveying department for this one. This is an Oyster Ground lease application case. This is an application by Marshall Seafood to requesting to lease approximately 70 acres of oyster planting ground within Timbernet Creek, which is in Gloucester County. The application was protested by a nearby property owner and leaseholder, and by Timberneck LLC, who is also adjacent property owner of a large parcel of land along the creek. Timberneck Creek, York River. This is the depiction of what Mr. Marshall or Marshall Seafood applied for up the creek and in these two little bay areas. The two protestants are Mr. Klimak, who owns a property right here, and Timbernet Creek, which owns this large parcel of land, which you have seen previously for a community use marina in this location, and an oyster reef project in conjunction with our repletion department right off of this point here. The marina was previously approved, and the reef project was approved. We did receive this application on April 8th of 2009. It was originally surveyed in September of 2009. However, based on internal discussions, the survey did exclude two areas, and those were the areas of the marina footprint and the proposed reef site. On October 1 of 2009, we received a letter of objection from Mr. Ben Williams, who is president of Timberneck LLC, the developer of this large parcel on the western shoreline. The letter noted their history of the developer of coordination with the county related to numerous approvals they were seeking for development of the upland property, along with their concessions of low density, preservation of historical, agricultural, recreational, ecological, marine, and wildlife resources on the property. They further noted that while they had no objections to reasonable and permissible uses of state-owned bottomlands, the ground as surveyed could conflict with proposed future uses by potential riparian landowners in the subdivision. It was also noted that they intended to contact Mr. Marshall or Marshall Seafood in an attempt to directly resolve the matter. On November 6, 2009, we received a letter from Mr. Williams that was sent to George Marshall, dated November the 5th of 2009, indicating some proposed dates to meet to discuss the matter. We understand there was a meeting, but that no compromise was reached. We received a second protest letter in December of 2009 from Mr. Gregory Klimak, expressing his objections to the application. Again, this is a topo map, again, with the superimposed area of the entire application. Here's the reef site that was excluded from the original survey and the marina site. This depicts the original survey that was done in September. We did get some calls of concern from Timbernet that perhaps this line was not far enough offshore to avoid the reef. And we agreed that any final survey would exclude that area and that line would be adjusted. This is the area of the marina. This is Mr. Klimak's property here. This is a Oyster Ground map. Obviously, it has existing leases on it. Mr. Klimak has a riparian oyster lease here, which will be important later when I discuss his objection. And he has a private pier that extends slightly into his own oyster lease. We did, Mr. Klimak's objections were related to potential extensions of his private pier channelward of his current terminus, and he requested that we maintain a buffer between his lease and the applicant's lease for any potential pier extension. In light of that request, staff went back to the site, and I actually went with our surveyor, Bob Butler, for the southern area to do some further analysis of the bottom and some depths measurements related to Mr. Klimak's concerns. We also had some further discussions with the Timbernet, and their concern was along this shoreline where there would be potentially private piers for some of the residential lots here, and we took that into consideration when we were doing our soundings and our evaluation of the bottom. After taking those evaluations, it does appear the upper reaches of the creek neither currently have any existing shellfish resources, nor is the bottom suitable for such activity. And that's represented by the hatched area you see here, which is 12.82 acres. This area is pretty much all mud. There are some riparian leases up here, but the actual commercial leases begin in this area. However, there had been a commercial lease in this general area in the past that reverted back to the common. But we felt that this area, we didn't find any resource. We did find shell and possibly oyster stock in some of these areas, scattered all around through the application area, and felt that this area was suitable for oyster aquaculture and bottom culture. The area where the old lease was, there's a public landing, the end of a county road and a public landing here that some of the watermen tie boats up. And we discussed some with the watermen while we were there. Historically how this creek had been used, and they reiterated that there had been a lease here and it had been actively worked in the past and reverted back to the Commonwealth some years ago. There is an existing lease here that's been there a while and a really old lease here that's been there for quite a few years. We would note that any product removed from this creek in this current configuration, the whole creek is currently condemned for the direct market, but it could be relayed to open ground offshore. Consider Mr. Klimak's issue. His existing pier only extends slightly into his existing riparian lease, and we determined that he could extend his pier up to 93 additional feet and stay within his own lease. That would also increase the water depth at the end of his current pier from about a little over 2 feet to 3 3/4 feet at low tide. If you look in your packet, you'll see some correspondence back and forth with me and Mr. Klimak. I would direct your attention to number 9 that contains a couple of maps. And 9 shows his lease and some corner numbers and has some handwritten notes that I sent to him by fax indicating the depths we took. And you'll note corner number 148 on that document was the area where he could get the maximum depth. And that, if he extended his pier straight out, it would go almost toward 148. His pier's not shown on that drawing. If you flip over to the next sheet, that's the actual chart. And you can see the point, you see the water depth of 3 feet that's above where it says overhead power cable. That's his pier projecting out from the eastern shoreline. So the controlling depth in there at low tide was pretty accurate to what we came between 3 and 4 feet. We took an additional reading 50 feet beyond corner 148, and the depth was exactly the same. So we felt that Mr. Klimak could extend his pier out within his own lease to basically the controlling water depth of this creek, and that probably any extension beyond this line would start to interfere with navigation anyway. It wouldn't be authorized. He indicated also that he does not have a boat, but he was thinking of purchasing a sailboat that might need 5 feet of water. My suggestion was he might want to consider getting a mooring buoy out in York River and ferry out to the because probably the water depths were not appropriate at this location for a sailboat with that type of keel. In spite of that, he wrote back to me and still suggested that we buffer the lease because our other recommendation was to stay 100 feet off of this shoreline to accommodate Timmernet's request for potential future private piers. But since we buffered it only 100 feet, Mr. Klimak already has a 60-foot pier and he could go 93 more feet. He felt that that's more than 100 feet. Why would we buffer Marshall's application and leave a void here between his lease and Mr. Marshall? It just didn't seem to make any sense. We believe that Timmernet is in agreement with this current configuration. I'll let them address that. They are here today. I do not believe Mr. Klimak is here. As of last week, he was still in Florida. All my correspondence with him over the last 3 weeks has been by phone and fax in Florida. Mr. Marshall and his attorney are not here. You can see a letter, the last letter in the packet. They have agreed also to this configuration, 25.27 acres, which includes staying off the reef site, off the shoreline to include the marina, but a 100-foot buffer basically up to this spot, which where the lease would stop. No buffer around the Clemont lease. So this is the configuration staff is currently recommending approval, which is considerably less than what he applied for, but he applied all the way to the shore to shore. We went around some riparians and some piers and we buffered the shore. So this is the acreage that is left that we would recommend to lease.
Okay, any questions of Mr. Stagg? Thank you, Ben. Mr. Marshall in the audience? Anyone favoring this project in the audience? Would Timberneck like to be heard in this matter? Mr. Williams? You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name for the record, please.
Ben A. Williams III. I'm the president of Timberneck LLC. It's been a long day, and I think I told you a little bit last time when we had our permit for the shoreline erosion, the pier, what we were trying to do there as far as the preservation development. We think staff's done a great job in coming up with this, and we can live with this. The two conditions I have, I think one of them has been met, and that is that we, as part of our preservation theme, we were very much in favor of working for this oyster reef. And so we wanted to make sure that the oyster shells have actually been stored on our property ready to go for maybe 6 months. We wanted to see that happen. We wanted it to be successful, so we didn't want anything that would have a detrimental effect on that. We didn't want it to fail. The other thing is, and I did meet with Mr. Marshall, as I know that you like what to do. We tried to work at it. I have copies of those letters if I'd like to put in the record, if I can, just
because
we did that. And then the other thing is, one other condition I would like to ask you to make would be on this, on the acreage here. This the Timberneck Hall sits right there. It was built in 1805, and in our negotiations with the county and trying to restore that property, we had to make a proffer, and I have a copy of the proffers I'd like to offer, particularly number 9 on page 6. And that is that we would try to sell Timberneck Hall to an individual who would agree to restore it. Now, it is a major project. Timberneck Hall was built in 1805. It was added on to in 1858. It's got the remnants of being possible, but it doesn't have much else. It's got bad foundation problems, but we do currently negotiating with an individual to buy that point, and he would restore that house. We have 2 years from time to finish our road to try to do that. What did we do? We built a website just to Timberneck Hall. We've advertised in Preservation Magazine, and we have worked with the Association with Preservation Virginia Antiquities to try to find buyers. If Mr. Marshall was allowed to come off the bottom with any devices, I'm not sure whether he'd have to come back to you to do that, but if he had any other than traditional oyster, as I would call it, any devices of a foot or more, that property there goes really shallow. And if they showed at low tide, it would be a real detriment for me trying to sell that piece of property. So I would ask if you could, that if we do this, that it not, that he'd have to come back to the commission before he would use any kind of man-made structures.
Caged aquaculture.
Possible. Otherwise, that I compliment the staff on the work they've done. And
what's the current law for the lease? If we release this in this configuration, Mr. Marshall has not expressed that he's going to put structures on this in his questionnaire, which we ask every lease holder. It doesn't mean he can't. Under the law, he could put cages up to 12 inches without any additional permitting from the agency, provided they don't have a congregation. The water depths in there are very shallow. We cannot say for certain that some of this area, even 12 inches, that might not be exposed.
Mr. General,
if you make it a condition to the plat, we put it right on the plat. The structures in this area would not be allowed if that would stand up. Anything over 12 inches, you would have to come back to get Jack's fisheries permit,
Sure, or put floats on any of this. Our general permit is the 12 inches of fence.
Then we'll talk about the other one that was passed.
That's the temporary enclosure, which is GAC's permit.
So the bottom line is,
as currently shown, cages up to 12 inches. Once this is leased, if it's leased in this configuration, could be placed.
However, we
without if less commissions, with some conditions. Well, at least the line doesn't have a condition. Well, we can adjust the line. But we have to keep Marshall to agree that. I'm not sure what Mr. Williams is.
This part from approximately, I mean, I've spent my last 3 years over there, the peaks of privacy, but it actually goes dry on the low tides from there. And so
it goes dry on low tide? It
goes dry on low tide. And so back this way. I wouldn't tell you that I've seen it do that a lot of times, but I've taken my boat up in there with just a fly fishing skip, and like I said, it's not much water in there at all. And so that concerns me because the county, this was a real issue with the county in trying to get the zoning. We eventually got the zoning, I think I told you before, this is low density, approved by the 13-member planning commission unanimously and by the board of supervisors, but we worked for 2 years.
I want to give you what you want. I just want to, as you well know,
I understand.
Based on where I've been before and my previous, I want to do what's legal.
Will I add one?
Yes.
Comment.
Yes, please. Just
generally speaking, maybe in here it might be a little bit deeper and softer. Generally, this is hard, hard bottom from my probing when I went out. So it's the least desirable currently for. There's actually shell and orchards in this, so that would be the least desirable area to include. But I didn't know yet this particular objection until now, but this is wrong.
When I met Mr. Marshall and his wife over there and standing on that point, he indicated too, they did talk about structures, and he did talk about, I said, the bottom, because I had done some investigation, hired some consultants about the condition of the bottom. I said, the bottom out here, I don't think it's very conducive. And he said, well, I'm going to put that in burlap bags, and I'm going to put the oysters on top of that. And I'm going to accepted method of covering the bottom. But and then he said, you know, I do structures. I would do structure, not structure, whatever, the containers that they put them in. I would consider doing that. But at that time, you saw in the letter what happened from that. So I would appreciate if you do that.
Let me ask David, if there's ample opportunity to cage aquaculture away from there, and Ben, you said that the commission can as a deed restriction.
Deed counselor can answer that, I think, mm-hmm. But we don't typically have conditions on flats, but I'm not sure why.
He's not here to object to it either, which was a concern.
I'm not sure why he's
been
here.
Because the last, Mr. Williams, I don't want to make this more complicated than this, but the last letter that I have in the file from the attorneys indicate that my client and I agree with what was done as far as the agreement. This is an amendment or something new, a new condition that was not part and parcel of that letter. Is that correct?
His attorney never contacted me at all.
But I guess my point is, what he represented to the commission as being acceptable did not include this condition.
No. Now, to my knowledge, you're correct. That's correct. But I
we need to do that.
I have no problem with you tabling it and then having him comment on it and do it next time. You know,
Jim, is what we're talking about is the 25.27 acres?
We're
talking about that at the bottom.
Yeah, we're talking about this. This is very, very shallow. And the hatch sits right there. And this is where the oyster reef is going to be. and then this is the main channel coming around here.
Well, this
is the island that Ben's under.
I want to do this correctly. Let's do this. Ben, if you don't have a problem with it, you tell me. I think we should table this. I think everything seems to be going pretty well. But I know a little history of this based on what I've read and the reading of the file and everything else. I would rather Mr. Williams and Mr. Marshall get together and I get another a letter basically that says, yeah, that's okay with me, and away we go and we can take care of it. Matter of fact, you know, I think that's the way to go. I think that way everything is transparent, it's clear.
Sobrick,
that is exactly correct. Let's table it, continue it for 30 days. If we receive a letter back from Mr. Sobrick indicating that that's okay, we'll put it on the agenda. And as far as I'm concerned, nobody has to come back. We'll act upon it. That sound fair enough? Mr. Holland?
We'll be tabled for 30 days.
Thank you very much.
Dr. McConaughey, second. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries.